All right, I want to talk to you about a change in Christian academia. And this is a revelation that was given to a person called Anonymous on 11/26/16. And it's good. It's very good. They said, I had a dream where I was at what I knew was a worldly Christian college. A question in my mind during this dream was, is this happening all over the world? Yes, of course. In the dream, I was at the gymnasium, and I say that this is a place for strengthening of the flesh, right? With some people, but then all of a sudden, there was an attack. Next thing I know, I'm with David and UBM. There were explosions all over the place, and David started leading an evacuation away from the college. The attack, I believe, saints, is witchcraft and faction that we can see in the world around the election process and in Christianity. It is kind of nutty, but God is using this faction means to separate, right? God is using this to separate and to identify the righteous and the wicked. And, of course, it's to separate the wheat from the tares, as Jesus said. Faction is separation. And it's a spirit that causes separation. And this is happening all over the world in so-called higher education of Christianity. All of the sects, of course, think of themselves as higher education. That's part of the pride of religion and that spirit that goes with it. The separation is so that those who do not fall for these temptations of criticism and sectarianism against their brethren can be led out into a truly higher education in God. You know, I don't know how many people I've heard say this. I prayed that God would lead me to the truth, and He did it. Amen. I prayed the same thing when I was young in the Lord. Lord, I just want the truth. I ask You to show me the truth. I'm not looking for any particular religion, and I'm not going to, you know, so on and so forth. And the Lord did lead me to truth. He first of all led me out of the sect I was in at that time. And so many outgrow their denominations, which is a good thing, which are sects and divisions and parties or strifes, as called by Paul. He calls them works of the flesh, right? Although you'd never know it by their self-aggrandizement, you know, that this is a lower form of teaching. And I believe UBM here represents the Unleavened Bread Ministries, who will receive these overcomers and take them to a new level in God. You remember Jesus went to the denominations of His day and called a group out, and He called them His church, His called out ones. And now, of course, you know, God is doing the same thing, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. And this is a good thing. I mean, denominations, as the Lord has pointed out to me, they're playpens. They're just keeping people pacified until they grow up a little bit and learn to climb over the bars, right? And that's good. And I believe David here represents the David pre-latter rain anointed man-child ministries that are coming to reform those coming out of the Saul ministries. I say pre-latter rain anointing, you know, because like David, who already was a shepherd of sheep, he later became anointed to lead Israel. It was a much greater calling to a much larger flock of sheep, right? But So we have those Davids here on the earth today. Their name may not be David. It has nothing to do with that. God just uses me because my name is David, and David in the Bible is a representation of this person, you know. So, anyway, he went on to say, as all of us left, we were walking down the road. Well, praise the Lord. That's a good thing. I believe this represents the narrow road of humbling to the Word. How many of you folks listening have, you know, come out of certain denominations of what you at one time might have thought was higher academia in Christianity, right? And you discovered as you grew up, no, it's not true. Well, that's an experience of an awful lot of people. They grow from one thing to another, and sometimes they ultimately grow up enough to realize that none of the denominations are right, just like none of them were right in Jesus' day. Denominationalism itself is a sect or a division or a strife and a work of the flesh. And you don't even have to call yourself a denomination to be one. So he said, we were walking down the road, and I looked back to see explosions over the school coming in like missiles. And I do believe that these faction attacks are coming from the Philistines, if you will, the spiritual Ishmaelites who hate their brother Israel as a type of the church, to bring down the Saul ministries. You remember David took over after Saul had his war with the Philistines and lost. And, of course, Saul really doesn't have any power anymore. He's into witchcraft, which is a rebellion, right? And that's what it is, rebellion against the Word. So they are going to fall. But some people are going to separate before and some after. Okay? And, anyway, he went on to say, as I looked closer, they looked like fireworks. They were not very powerful explosions. Well, you know, slanderous words don't show any physical damage. They do an internal damage because they harm people. They separate people. They allow demons to enter into people. If you disobey the Word and listen to these folks, well, then you get those demons in you, and boy, it'll just ruin your whole family. It'll ruin your marriage, etc., etc. Anyway, he said, we were already at a safe distance and we're all looking back. And then David said, the man-child will go back in and attack. The man-child will go back in and attack. That's interesting. I believe that what he's saying is the anointing will come on the Davids and they will go back and attack, and not attack the people, but attack the demons that are controlling and manipulating and holding back the people, right? Amen. We don't want to see anybody lose this battle. Even those that have faction can come out of bondage, and we pray that they do. So go back here means that the man-child just came out for him to have to go back. And the man-child Davids are going to return with the latter rain anointing to rule the flock. And remember, David shepherded his father's sheep before he was anointed to rule the people of God. And that happened when Saul spiritually died. He lost his battle with the man of the flesh of the land, and he died. And there are many dead people out there. We've had dreams about the dead and being the faction, that they're dead. Now they're dead to God. They used to be dead to Satan and dead to sin, but now they're dead to God. That's not good. Meaning they can't hear God and they don't pay attention to the Word. So anyway, the anointing will judge the faction and deliver the elect from the demons, as Jesus, the Son of David, did. He was a perfect type of that. And, of course, we know Jesus is coming again in a very unusual way. The church didn't made a big mistake last time when he came and didn't believe he was going to come the way he did. And of course he's going to do the same thing. And they don't see that or understand that. But they will know it when the signs and wonders start being manifest, just like they were in Jesus' ministry. Because it's Jesus doing the work, saints. We just offer to him this vessel to be used of him for his glory. And we should be doing that daily and constantly, right? So, then he said, Philip immediately turned to me to explain more about what David just said. And he said, this is not a man. This is not a man. Talking about the man-child. There was another guy who was going to help the man-child. In other words, go in and help him do this spiritual warfare. But he realized he was a man because of the position he was in. And he was very sad about this. And I felt for him because he was only a man. That's very interesting. Soon some who thought they were in the man, child, or bride will find that they're not because they don't count the cost to put God and his people first. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who is that in you? Is that God in you? Well, yes, to the extent you have permitted the Word to become flesh in you, that is Christ in you, God in you, right? That's not a man. The man is the outer vessel. The God is that inner recreation in your heart, right? So Christ in you, the hope of glory, has not arrived in these persons. They're just men. And he arrives, of course, through his Word being manifest in the person and his Spirit in them, this anointing, right? The man-child is nothing without the Spirit and the anointing. That's how Christ comes in the man-child and how he comes in every one of us. Anyway, when I read this about the man who wanted to help but realized he was just a man, And how this person felt sorry for him because he was just a man. When I read this, I felt sad. I felt sad for many who are missing out on the grace that God has given for them. And so I asked the Lord, what have you to say, Lord? What have you to say about this? And I received this text by faith at random. Revelation 19 and 7. Let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Let us give glory unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Saints, of course, means sanctified ones, right? And the righteous acts, this is somebody who's walking in holiness and purity. Holiness, by the way, is the same thing as sanctification. It comes from the exact same word. And so the bride has made herself ready. See, some people, we know that this bride is beautiful to God because of her godliness. Because God lives in her, right? She's not just a man, you know, talking about mankind. She is God in the flesh. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. He was God in the flesh. Who are we to be if we're to be the brother of Jesus? God in the flesh. Does he live in you? Do you humble yourself to his word? Have you been filled with his Spirit to empower you to walk in his steps? All of these things are important. So anyway, Then this was spoken unto me, Revelation 22 and 17. So after I received that word, through faith at random, this was spoken unto me, Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. We have an invitation. He's telling you what the Bride looks like, what she does, and now we have an invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. Somebody that's got ears to hear, let him say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. He that will, let him take of the water of life freely. The water of life. The Word of God is the water of life. When we consume the Word of God, and it goes into our being, and it recreates in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not just hearing the Word, it's being a hearer and a doer of the Word, or else we are, according to James, deluding ourselves. Okay? So we have a conscience. We want to have that beautiful gown that the bride had called the righteous acts of the saints. We want that. We desire that more than we desire our own life. We're willing to give up our life in order to receive this awesome blessing. And so God will choose those who, by grace, value Him and His Word and His people, who seek first the kingdom. You know, before I read this dream, before it was sent to me and I read it, in the night I heard Haggai and Joy. Haggai and Joy. These two things were coming to me in the night. And Joy, as you know, is an acronym for Jesus, Others, You. The problem with the Haggai curse, I'm going to call it that because that's what it is. When you read the book of Haggai, you know what the Haggai curse is. It's people that are building their own kingdom, their own house, and everything they have is cursed. And many people ask, you know, why is this happening to me? Why is my car's breaking down? Why are all the kids sick? Why is this? Why is that? Why is this on my body? Why is that? You know, why? Well, read the Haggai curse. It's Jesus first. Everything. Anything He gifts you to do, do it with all your might. Anything He calls you to do, anything He calls you to work, humble yourself before Him and put Him first. And it's Jesus, others, seeing to the needs of others. Because give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Many people spend all of their time praying for themselves. But Jesus said, give and it'll be given unto you. Meet the needs of the brethren around you, and God will meet yours. You know, when Job, who was very needy, prayed for his friends, God blessed him. And He healed him, right? And He multiplied him. So it's Jesus, others, you. The Haggai curse is God said, build My house, not yours. He's not talking about your building that you live in. He's talking about your household. The thing that prospers you. You. It's putting you ahead of Jesus, right? And so Haggai here represents the Haggai curse that we've been speaking of. The curse on those who seek first their own house and are distracted by the world and by themselves and by their family, etc. And if you love any of your family more than the Lord, you're not worthy of Him. He said so. So He wants to be first. Let me go bury my father. Let the dead bury the dead, He said. You know, We think, oh, this is what's expected of us by man. Well, we don't do what's expected by man. We do what's expected by God, right? And then he said, I received this second dream in the same night within hours apart. I was at the same college again with David. I was trying to figure out how to tell David the previous dream that I just had about explosions coming there. I was very perplexed on how to do it. And I think that this means that because this dream is a parable and not a letter, it needs explanations. It needs interpretation. Okay? Then there was a lot of commotion there, so I finally started to tell him about the dream that I had while walking around an old condemned building across from the gymnasium. An old condemned building. Well, this condemned, empty building represents, I believe, an abomination that maketh desolate. Speaking of a body of individuals who make up a building, because we all do, even the church is a building, right? Who make up a building that God will depart from because of their faction. And it's next to a gymnasium because they have been exercising their flesh, not their spirit. Okay? That's unavoidable when you have faction. I know people that I love who have fallen into faction, and I pray for them regularly, and it's not them. They are just not themselves. And it really is a chastening from disobedience, but they'll serve their time, and hopefully God will release them when they've been sufficiently humbled. He said, as I began talking, I found myself in a very poorly built boat with some other UBM people. Well, a poorly built boat will not stand the storm. It will not keep the people above the curse that's spoken in the water of the word. A factious man, he said, who I knew sitting right next to me on a wooden bench laughing and not taking anything serious. And I believe that this means that the faction do not take the study of the word seriously. Some who don't consider themselves in faction are still divided from the body, or cold from the body, and are not taking seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness seriously, because they have no fear of the Lord. And he said, I thought the bench was going to break with him on it. And I believe that this is a discernment of a coming fall into judgment. We've tried to tell the people that have fallen into faction that there is a coming judgment for this. And hopefully the judgment will bring repentance. He said, the scene then changed, and we were back at the beginning in the same college, back at the beginning of the revelation, okay? Everyone was very sad at the news that I just told them about the explosions and everything that were going to happen in the future. And, of course, we hate to see these things, but you can't stop them. You can't pray them away. This is God's word being fulfilled of separation. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, he says. He says, put forth the old leaven. Well, the Lord does that. Even when you don't know what's in a person's heart, you don't know the leaven that's there, the Lord does that. And he can use spirits of faction to do that. Because he is sovereign over all vessels of honor and dishonor, the Bible tells us, so he does that. David was concerned, looking off into the distance. But then I told everyone the rest of the story with a very loud exclamation. The man-child is coming back in. All right. This is going to make an awesome change. Because he said immediately everyone's concerns turned to joy. Then Selah comes out of nowhere with her children around her and gives me a joyous hug and is very happy about the news. She said, now I'm going to take a shower. Well, he said, in the dream I knew this to be her usual routine before fellowship. Selah in Hebrew means an end, a pause, or a change. The coming of the man-child is an end of the old order and a change to the new order. Selah could almost represent, or I believe does represent, the mother church with her children who will change, the same word, in that they will take a spiritual shower in the words through the man-child as it was when Jesus came the first time. You remember his words excited people. It drew people. It put a hunger in people. And it changed them. Selah. When Jesus came the first time, the old academia fell in the minds of many because the factious Pharisees who ruled there were seen for what they were because of his words. Even the faithful in the old order will change. John the Baptist, remember, was the greatest born of woman. He that's least in the kingdom is greater than he. So there were faithful in the old order when Jesus came, the man-child came. And so it is this time. There are faithful people in the old order. They don't have a gift or grace to be greater than they are. But then that's what this new order is all about. It's a gift. It's grace that makes us what we need to be rather than what we are. You do the best you can with what you got, right? And you can always pray for more. And the Lord hears that. He loves you to do that. So I believe that a new birth of the ministry of Jesus in a body of the corporate Son of David will come with great joy. Because that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. And by the way, he was talking to some shepherds. Some obviously faithful shepherds will hear this and understand it. Be not afraid, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom he is well pleased. Peace among men in whom he is well pleased. Praise God. And through this reformer ministry will come the greatest revival the world has ever seen. I was sent this Prophecy from 1939, given by Smith Wigglesworth. It was a vision and a prophecy. And let's see, this is from GaryCarpenter.org. Let's see, he says, in 1939, World War II was about ready to break out. Lester Sumrall was in his 20s. Some of you know Lester Sumrall. He had a great deliverance ministry, a man of faith, a good man. Need more like him on the earth. He was working in a Bible school in England, and he got to know Smith Wigglesworth. And most of you know Smith Wigglesworth. He has been called the Apostle of Faith, a man of great faith. He read his books and heard about his ministry. He had been going over and visiting Smith Wigglesworth in his home for several years. Every other week, he would visit him. Smith Wigglesworth would also have Brother Sumrall to speak at his conventions. One day, Lester Sumrall went to tell Smith Wigglesworth that a police officer had come to his door and told him that everyone who was not an English citizen would have to leave the country. Hitler was threatening to come across the English Channel, so all foreigners had to leave. The young Sumrall explained to the elder minister, "I came to say goodbye to you. I appreciate all that you have put into me." Now, here was a young minister in his 20s, and here was a man in his 80s who wanted to give his gift to somebody. Smith Wigglesworth told the young minister, "I want to bless you." So he held him and he said, "Lord, everything that I have, bless him with it. Give it to him." Smith Wigglesworth started weeping as he pulled Brother Sumrall in closer. He was a big man. "And as he held me close to him," Lester said, "his tears rolled off his face and they would hit me in my face." Brother Sumrall explained, "Wigglesworth cried, saying, 'I probably won't see you again now. My job is almost finished.' And as he continued to pray, he cried, 'I see it, I see it.' Brother Sumrall asked, 'What do you see? What do you see?' He said, 'I see a healing revival coming right after World War II. It'll be so easy to get people healed. I see it. I see it. I won't be here for it, but you will be.' And there was a healing revival right after the war." He continued to prophesy, "I see another one. I see people of all different denominations being filled with the Holy Ghost." And that was the charismatic revival. God raised up people during that era, like the Full Gospel Businessmen and many others, of course. Then Brother Wigglesworth continued, "I see another move of God. I see auditoriums full of people coming with notebooks. There will be a wave of teaching on faith and healing." And we did experience that wave that he saw, and we call it the Word of Faith movement. Then he prophesied, "After that, after the third wave," he started sobbing, "I see the last day revival that's going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. It will be the greatest revival this world has ever seen. It's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. The ministry gifts will be flowing on this planet Earth. I see hospitals being emptied, and they will bring the sick to the churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move. Amen. The greatest revival this world has ever seen, Smith prophesied. And it's going to be begun by this reformer ministry, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. Jesus started that wonderful former reign revival. He was filled with the former reign of the Holy Spirit. And he went out to do his ministry. And he raised up disciples and gave them authority to heal, to deliver, to meet the needs of the people. And he sent them out, and they went out everywhere and were shocked to see that authority move through them to touch, to deliver, and so on. And of course, this awakened people to the gospel that Jesus spoke because of the signs and wonders. People are tired of seeing dead religion, obviously. They want to see a God who cares. And that's what they're going to see through this awesome revival. A God who cares. So Jesus was that man-child of that day, and he raised up his disciples to go forth. And of course, he told them to make disciples to go forth and observe everything that he told the first disciples. And of course, they were told the same thing, and until religion got a hold of it and short-circuited the whole thing. And there was a great falling away, just as the apostles and Jesus said was coming. And so, this is what we have coming now. We've heard here recently of a timing thing, I think. And that is that that running parallel to this man-child ministry is this Trump ministry, or this Trump administration coming. That's very interesting. We don't have long to wait for that. So if this is true, we're going to see this anointing of this man-child very soon. You know, God has given a confirmation of his choice in this new administration. I think it was the Pew people that did the research, and they said 96% of the people in America have new hope because of the incoming Trump administration. You know, a lot of people don't understand that we just had a landslide. It was covered up by an awful lot of cheating, but we just had a landslide. There are more people out there than you know. They're trying to hide this. The news media are crumbling. The national, I call it national because that's what they are, news media, the mainstream media are crumbling because of all the lies that they've told. To prove this confidence, I mean, the financial stocks are set to for their greatest monthly gain ever. I'll put a link here, and when I send this out, people are encouraged. You probably saw the red map on the page that we have on the front of the site, proof Trump won the popular vote too. And above that red map, there's a title called Pharaoh Drowned and Replaced at the Red Sea. And then they show you this red map there, right? Oh, gosh, it was a landslide. You know, when the country voted for freedom from bondage, and we heard the concession speeches with the words rule of law, it was as if Pharaoh conceded to let the people go. At least people may have thought that. But we had heard from the Lord that an attempt to reel the slaves back into bondage would come through false flag chaos and anarchy to bring martial law and to continue this administration. Now, we don't believe it's going to be successful. Let me say that right off. But that's what we've heard. And now we're seeing it. And now we've heard that the chaos and anarchy of the people who beat innocent people on the streets because of the way they voted, for goodness sake, and the murderers of cops who risked their lives to keep the peace, and the slasher murders of students, and the burning of our lands are not really terrorists. But we're really not that stupid either. And we know where it all comes from. We're seeing now that organized crime from the very top is threatening electoral voters with death if they don't change their vote. Well, you know, when I hear something like that, you know that this is criminals supporting criminals. Okay? The criminal media is silent about all of this and still railing at the people's choice. So they're going down with Pharaoh's administration. You know, these obvious attempts to whip us into line would be the equivalent of Pharaoh and his administration chasing the people to the Red Sea to bring them back into bondage through martial law. The Red Sea of votes, that map of the United States that's mostly red, is a sign of what is happening. But it won't be completed until Pharaoh's administration goes under and there's a new Pharaoh in this Egypt. Because we know that Pharaoh did die in the Red Sea, and there was a new Pharaoh in Egypt. And also, Moses reformers are coming at this time to lead the people of God through the wilderness to their promised land. And, of course, there'll be a great celebration and a revival on the far side of the sea, where they're baptized in the cloud and in the sea, right? Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, the Red Sea represents a revival as well as a changing of administrations. And Daniel, you know, Moses was a change in the administration, you know. Moses went through the Red Sea too, and what is the Red Sea representing? A baptism, according to Paul. So Moses, who is a type of the man-child, went through death, burial, and resurrection. And then he led the people through the wilderness. Right? And Daniel also was a type of these reformers when he interpreted the writing on the wall to the king of Babylon, who was abusing the vessels of God's house. And this was, of course, the interpretation, of course, was a rejection of his regime. And Cyrus's army marched into the city on that night. And that was the end of him. Change of regime. Well, we've been famous in America here for changing regimes. And what goes around comes around, right? So, we got wonderful things. We just had these fires, you know, in Tennessee, burning up some very beautiful territory in Tennessee. And, of course, we know who's doing it. We know who's paying for it. We know who's bussing them around from city to city to have their riots and so on. Everybody knows these things. But if you don't have law and order at the top, there's not much you can do about it. They'll just be defended. So, Father, we're just thanking you, Lord, for the victory in all of this. You're so gracious to us in having mercy at this time. We don't deserve it, but we praise you and we thank you for doing it. Lord, we're looking forward to the things you've told us about. It will be a great and wonderful day and a turnaround for the country, although it will be short. We know that. Probably just a few years. I believe one Bible code seemed to be saying 3 to 3.5 years. Maybe that's 3.5 with grace, right? And of course, I was saying that before I ever read that in the Bible code, is that that this war on the saints that's been prepared by the troops that have been brought into the country, the ISIS troops that have been brought into the country, this war on the saints is not supposed to happen till the middle of the tribulation period, Revelation 13, when the beast makes war on the saints, right? And so, this is one thing that really convinced me that we did have a Cyrus coming. Not that the original threat of the king of Babylon against the people wasn't true. It is true. And attempts are being made now to bring about chaos and a furtherance of this administration. But we thank you, Father, that you are merciful towards us, that you work all things after the counsel of your will, and you have decided to have mercy. Your people have prayed diligently, and you have turned things around and are still doing that. You are sinking people that don't deserve to be at the leadership of this country and their media too. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we ask you to continue this job all the way across the board, Lord, and also in foreign lands where foolishness has allowed an invasion of very destructive people, hateful people. And I thank you, Father, for bringing an end to that, turning that around. We're very grateful for all of the Muslim people that come into the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's a whole different relationship with mankind when you have that. And I think many people, many Muslim people are tired. They're tired of the hatred. They're tired of the criticism, the murder. They're tired of serving that kind of a God. And they make very, very good Christians. And God, we just ask that you just send a great wave of revival through the Muslim people, Lord, and bless them, because we love them. We want them saved, Lord. We want the faction to be saved too, Lord, like a Nebuchadnezzar experience of losing their mind for a season, 7 seasons, and then coming out of it with the great respect for you, Lord. And I do believe that these people are gonna come back, the elect among them, with great respect for you, and they'll be great workers in the harvest, Lord. We love them. We desire, Lord, your best for them. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Lord, you've given us many warnings about these things because you don't want people to fall into it. But even so, you love and we love and we pray for the people who have fallen into it, because this chastening is going to make them better than they were. This humbling is going to make them better. And we pray, Lord, we stand on your word, and we thank you for the mighty miracle that you have promised unto us of the return of multitudes of these people around the world. And we just praise you and thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Lord, please keep showing us the things that you want us to have faith for, like some of the things we've spoken about today, because that's how you bring things to pass, even great revivals. You put faith in people's hearts and prayers of faith. Effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So, Lord, we're thanking you for this awesome revival. And we're thanking you, too, that the Red Sea experience is going to cause an awful lot of people to know you did this, Lord. This couldn't have happened by any stretch of the imagination by man's intelligence. Anybody that has any sense and looked at what just happened knows that. And we know some people are brain dead because of demons and so on and so forth. The liberal brain set is so sad, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you grant repentance to these people, that you draw them unto yourself, that you give them a revelation of what just happened. How has anything ever like this happened? It's just astounding. Against all odds, against all the enemies, you brought this through, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your mercy, your grace upon us, Lord. We want to see these gifts flowing, Lord, because it's going to bring multitudes of people into the kingdom and meet their needs. There are many sick out there, Lord. There are many tormented by demons, and they don't know why, Lord. They need to hear the gospel, the good news, Father. Please give us grace, Father, to be what you want us to be. Lord, we don't want to be what we are. We want to be what you want us to be. We want to step out in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus and do his works. We want greater, Lord. We don't ask for ourselves. We ask because so many people around us, Lord, have needs. And we have compassion on the multitudes, Lord, as you did. And Lord, you put that in our hearts, Father. And Lord, so we're asking you to send quickly this great revival, Lord. If in any way, Lord, that we're not understanding things correctly, we ask for correction. We ask for understanding, Lord. We ask for wisdom, Lord. And come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We know you're coming in this peculiar way, as you did the last time, peculiar to the thinking of men. But you're coming in this peculiar way. You're coming in a body of the Son of David that you've told us is a corporate body. That's going to cover the earth. And these reformers are going to, just like our Lord Jesus did, raise up disciples to go forth with signs and wonders and miracles. And they're going to raise up disciples to do the same thing. And this time, you will be great until the end of the earth, Lord. You have told us that. You will be great. There never will be a dark age again. Yes, darkness does cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the dark ages were when your people were in darkness, when they had fallen away from what you gave 2,000 years ago, Lord. And they're never going to be in that darkness again. Yes, the Pharisees, the scribes, they'll be in darkness, and they, unless they repent, will not know you. But your people are coming out, as we just shared. They're coming out from among them. Going to be led out by reformers. And are being, have been even, led out by reformers. And the man-child is coming to go in there and make war against the bondage of God's people. Much like Moses led the people out of bondage and into the wilderness to meet you, to grow in the wilderness, in the faith that you gave. So, Lord, thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. We receive it in Jesus' name.